Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning, would you read it with me? A Treasure Hunt. Based on our gospel reading, let me read just a portion of that again. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had, and he bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age." I encourage you this morning to take out your worship handout, follow the sermon outline together as we consider our theme, A Treasure Hunt. Well, those who work with diamonds tell us that there are four specific things you always look for in a quality diamond. The four C's, they are cut, clarity, carat, and color. It's important to examine this treasure jewel from all four facets. And finding a diamond like that, or going on a treasure hunt, right, Matthias and the kids who helped, how exciting it is to go on a treasure hunt and find great treasures. Well, the rest of you this morning, sorry I didn't have, Larry, I didn't have enough chocolates and bouncy balls for the rest of you. But are you ready this morning? Do you have comfortable shoes on? Are you ready to go with me on a treasure hunt? Today, we will hunt for God's kingdom treasure. And we'll examine his kingdom treasure by the use of three facets. Note your outline. This treasure is a hidden treasure. This treasure is a priceless treasure. And look at the last point of your outline. This treasure is a searching treasure. Facet number one, God's treasure is a hidden treasure. Verse 44 of our text says, "It is like a treasure hidden in a field." Now make no mistake about it. This wonderful treasure is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only treasure that's lasting and eternal and that you can always count on. All of our other earthly treasures, don't they? They waste away and are here today and they're gone tomorrow. Jesus said much the same thing in Matthew 6. Listen to his words. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is," said Jesus, "there you'll find your heart also." My friends, I'll say it a number of times during today's message, Jesus is the treasure. And he offers to you and to all people riches that are beyond comparison. What treasures could be more valuable than the forgiveness of your sins? The love of Almighty God. His strength and presence with you every day. The gift of eternity when you die. The text tells us, though, this treasure is hidden in a field. The field is our world, and God's treasure is here to be found. But not only are we to find it ourselves, we are to help others find it. The treasure of Jesus is here. It is hidden, if you would. Hidden under the preaching of the word. Hidden under the waters of holy baptism. Hidden under the bread and wine of holy communion. Hidden under the fellowship of the church. The treasure is here. But the scripture tells us clearly it's hidden from those whom the Bible calls the natural sinful man. Listen to what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He can't understand them. They are spiritually appraised. On their own, the Scripture says, sinful human beings who are apart from God's Word and His sacraments or the fellowship of the church cannot on their own find the treasure. How many times in your lives have you heard a family member or a neighbor or someone you go to school or work with say words like this? Well, you know, all that Jesus and God and church stuff doesn't really make sense to me. I don't get it. I'm not sure if I need it. Well, maybe I need it, but I don't understand it. Yet the treasure that's in Jesus is meant for people of all the world. What is that most famous of Bible passage told us in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish. The treasure is meant for all people. And this truth reminds us today of two purposes of the Christian church. The two purposes of the Christian church that we so easily forget. Purpose number one, the purpose of the church, is to strengthen our hold on Jesus, the treasure. But purpose number two is that we could reach out to others, that they might understand and be able to grasp onto the treasure which is theirs in Christ Jesus. And this brings us to facet number two. No, it's your sermon outline. God's treasure is an absolutely priceless treasure. In verses 45 and 46, we read these words. A merchant was looking for a fine pearl. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had, and he bought it. The Greek verb here, which is translated great value, describes that the pearl's worth is beyond count and beyond measure. It is priceless. And remember again, Jesus is that treasure. And Jesus' worth is always shown to us in His work, in what He has come to do. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. This is called the great exchange. Jesus exchanged the riches of heaven. He exchanged sitting at the right hand of the Father. He exchanged all of this. Why? To come to our earth, Franz Penn, to give His life for you, to pay for all of your sins. Fred Rosenke, our Lord Jesus, gave up all the riches of heaven just for you and for me. What a treasure. And the great apostle St. Paul tells all of us that no earthly treasure can compare to this one. Listen to what Paul wrote himself. Philippians 3, verse 7. Paul says, whatever things were gained for me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul was a man of whom it could be said had everything. He was famous. He was successful. He was wealthy. But he said, everything that I had in this world, I count as loss compared to knowing Jesus. And what did St. Paul do? He gave all of that up to follow and to finally lay down his life for Jesus. But it's really curious in this text. Paul uses a very interesting word. He says, everything in my life I count as loss compared to Jesus. In the original Greek language, the word he uses for loss is manure. Paul says, everything I had in this world, everything the world had to offer, is like a pile of manure compared to the riches I have in Jesus Christ my Lord. And this brings us to the third and final facet of the treasure. Look at your outline. God's treasure is a searching treasure. This is the best part of the treasure. Jesus is the treasure of God that seeks us out to make us God's priceless treasures. Listen to verse 47 of today's gospel. It says, it's like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Here we see a picture of a dragnet that fishermen have let off their boat to go fishing. How many of you here have ever seen a fisherman's dragnet on a boat? Any of you? A few of you. Well, just yesterday I had some time and I was at Gary Point and I saw some people letting out these big nets, dragging them behind the boat. A dragnet is a huge net used by fishermen because they want to catch every fish they can and not let one be lost. And this is indeed, my friends, the story of the whole Bible. God is fishing with the dragnet. God has gone fishing for us and for all people, and he wants not one to be lost. In the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned and hid from God in their guilt and shame, what did God do? He went fishing for them. We read in Genesis 3:9, one of the most precious verses of Scripture. It says, and the Lord God said, Adam, where are you? God went fishing for them. In Luke 15, we read what's been called historically the parable of the prodigal son. Lost in his sin, lost in his rebellion, deserving nothing but punishment, this boy left his father's home. But the father in the parable, who is a picture of our heavenly father, is described in this way. When the son was still afar off, the father went running to him, threw his arms around him and embraced him and kissed the back of his neck. The father went fishing for him. In Luke 19, one of my heroes in the Bible, because he's a man of very short stature, we meet Zacchaeus, the dishonest tax collector. Jesus was passing through his town of Jericho. The crowds were so big, Zacchaeus couldn't get a look. So what did Zacchaeus do? He climbed up a sycamore tree. And what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus went fishing for Zacchaeus. He stopped at the tree, looked up to Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, come on down, for today I must come to your home. Do you see a theme through the entirety of Holy Scripture? God goes searching for us. For God so loved the world, he sent Jesus, his priceless treasure, to go searching and fishing for us to make us his treasure as well. This is the very reason the church exists. You know, I know it's easy to forget that. We gather Sunday after Sunday and think the reason Trinity Lutheran Church exists is to throw a party for ourselves every Sunday morning. But that's not really the truth. We do gather to be reminded that we are God's priceless treasure. But we also gather that we might be released to go fishing for those not yet in God's kingdom. Every Christian congregation, every Christian individual is to be fervent in prayer saying, Dear Lord, show me every caring and creative way I can use to go fishing for others so that finally at the end of the age, there is a big catch for the kingdom of heaven. My friends, your presence in heaven and mine is only possible because Jesus, the priceless treasure, came looking for us. Did you pay attention? This is a rude question for the pastor to ask. Did you pay attention to the sermon hymn we sang just before the message was delivered? The beautiful hymn, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us. Listen as I read the first verse of that hymn to you. Listen to these words. Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice, and with that have freely given blessings countless as the stars to the unthankful and the evil with your own unsparing hand. Jesus shed blood on Calvary's cross Did you hear that? Jesus shed blood on Calvary's cross is priceless beyond cost. Jesus is our priceless treasure and the priceless treasure of the entire world. And the truth of Holy Scripture is this: God has gone fishing that no one might be lost. The Scripture tells us God will let nothing stop Him from giving His love, His forgiveness, and His help to those who are in need. The closing story for our message reminds me of this, that God will stop at nothing to take care of those whom He loves. A story from 90 years ago. Shortly after the Baptist Dallas Theological Seminary was formed in 1924, on that same year, it almost closed. It was in a financial crisis. All the creditors were calling their bills due and planned to close the school at 12 noon on a particular day. That morning, the president of the school and his board gathered together in a closed room behind a door for prayer, asking the Lord to please deliver them in their time of need. And the chairman of the board was a man by the name of Harry Ironside. And Harry began his prayer quoting Psalm 50, verse 20. He prayed, "Lord, we know that the cattle on a thousand hills are yours. Please, Lord, sell some of your cattle and send the money to us." Well, just about that time, a tall Texan in cowboy boots walked into the office of the seminary secretary. And he said to her, "Howdy, little lady. I've been trying to make a business deal with my cattle, but the deal fell through and I sold them anyhow and feel that God wants me to give the money to the seminary. Don't know if you need it, little lady, but here's a check for the full amount of the cattle I sold." The secretary took the check and gently tapped on the door where the prayer meeting was being held. She quietly explained the story to the seminary president. When the president looked at the amount of the check was for exactly what the seminary owed in all their bills. Then he recognized the name of the check of a famous cattleman from the Dallas area. And he went to Harry Ironside, who prayed the prayer and said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." God will stop at nothing. God will stop at nothing to give His love and deliverance and help to those whom He loves. Today we've seen that Jesus is God's priceless treasure. He's the hidden treasure we can help others to find. He is the priceless treasure with whom no treasure on earth can compare. He is the searching treasure that seeks out sinners like you and me and all people. He shows us the very heart of God. All praise and honor and glory be to Jesus, God's priceless treasure. In the name of Jesus, amen.